Do you remember the old song about the mulberry bush? The lyrics talk about going round and round, over and over again. In life, when we deal with our issues, it can be just like that. It can be a never-ending cycle, experiencing the issues over and over again. We can feel trapped, helpless, buried even. But our God has way more for us than just going around failure after failure. He wants to free us from the destructive patterns that keep us cycling round and round. No more beating around the bush, even the mulberry ones.
What is up, Freedom House? How's everybody doing today? Good? Well, I'm so excited to be here with you. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Diana Henderson. My husband and I get to be your campus pastors here at the best campus, Freedom House, South End. Isn't this one the best? I think you said it already, Pastor Olin, but I gotta just repeat it because it is the best. Well, if you're new here, we do things a little bit differently. First of all, we are one house with many rooms. So we've got our South End campus, our Lake Norman campus, our central campus, and if you're ever traveling on a weekend, we've got our online campus, so don't miss church. You can tune in because we live stream our services every Sunday. And if you miss a message, just go back and watch it on the podcast or on our YouTube channel. So no excuses not to get the word of God. We also do things a little differently than other churches. We have a teaching team. So you'll see a different person on every platform at every Freedom House campus every weekend preaching a live word of God. Real people with real problems serving a real God. Come on, somebody. That's a vision that's unique at Freedom House. And it was something God gave to our senior pastors, Troy and Penny Maxwell, who I just want to give a shout out to. Can we give it up for them for all they do? Troy and Penny Maxwell, they're amazing leaders. All right, guys, well, we're going to dive right in. We are in a series this month called Mulberry Bush. Now, the mulberry bush is a symbol of the sin and dysfunction that we can get ourselves entangled in. It's a representation of the wrongdoings or the burdens that we carry that could ultimately hinder our spiritual walk and block our walk with God. Now, the mulberry bush, it's actually a tree. So let's get our agriculture facts straight here. It's a tree, and what's interesting about the mulberry is that it's known for one particular characteristic. Anybody know what that is? It's vigorous root system. Some people would call it an invasive root system. You see, fun fact, a mulberry tree can grow to be over 40 feet tall, and the root system goes about 4 feet deep. But what's unique is that that root system grows laterally and horizontally underneath the surface, and it'll go as far as that canopy of the tree. And it is an entangled mess underneath the surface. We've got a picture here. Isn't that a pretty tree? Gorgeous. But what you don't see is what's happening beneath the surface. I would not advise that you plant a mulberry tree near a garage or near a driveway. We got a demo guy sitting on the front row. You know this, right? Mulberry will do the demo for you because it's going to cause a mess beneath the surface. Now, oftentimes, we get stuck in our sinful ways, our dysfunction, unhealthy relationships. And just like the invasive root system of the mulberry tree, we develop invasive, unhealthy roots beneath the surface. These show up in patterns, different behaviors in our lives. Maybe for you, it's dating the same guy or gal over and over again. Different name, but let's be honest, it's the same person. They leave you hurt. They betray you. It's the same person all over again. Maybe for you, it's job hopping. or city hopping or church hopping. Because the second something goes wrong, you end up pulling up your roots. Because let's be honest, God created us to be in community. He wanted us to plant, to develop a healthy root system. But when we're hopping around to community, those invasive roots start to choke out the healthy root system. Maybe for you, it's material possessions. You're never fully content, always looking to purchase the next thing that's only going to temporarily satisfy you. Or maybe for you, it's overspending. And you find yourself constantly with more month than money. And you're in a financial pinch on the regular. Maybe for you, it's an addiction to some sort of a substance. Maybe alcohol. Maybe drugs. Maybe your phone. Social media. Now, I'm not saying that these things are all bad, but what happens is that we entangle with them and they start to prevent us from growing in our walk with God. Now, the mulberry tree is a beautiful tree, isn't it? From the outside looking in, it's gorgeous. But what you don't see is that invasive root system beneath the surface. And I think many of us in here today, we look awesome from the outside. We look like we've got it all together. But there's stuff going on beneath the surface that we've never fully dealt with. Maybe we've never fully understood. And if we're not careful, those patterns of circling a mulberry can lead us right up the mulberry tree, like it did for a man by the name of Zacchaeus. This guy, Zacchaeus, in the Bible, also had his own sinful dysfunction. And he climbed up a sycamore fig one day, which happens to be a type of mulberry tree, looking for Jesus. I want to read this scripture to you in Luke chapter 19, verse 1. It says, Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, turn to the person next to you, say, hey, shorty. He couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed the sycamore fig, the mulberry tree, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, turn to somebody else and say, the spot. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. All right, let's unpack what's happening here. This guy named Zacchaeus, he has climbed up a mulberry tree of sin, of deceit, of dysfunction. He's deceiving everyone around him, his family, his neighbors, his friends, and he's pocketing the gain that he's taken from them as something for himself. The mulberry tree is our sin and our struggles, and we all have them. If we're truly honest with ourselves, we all have them. You know, even Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, would you say he was probably pretty impactful for the gospel of Jesus Christ? He even had a mulberry. He called it in the scripture the thorn in his flesh. He also referred to it as a messenger of Satan that was sent to torment him to keep him from becoming conceited. Now, we don't know what Paul's mulberry was. It might have been lustful desires. Maybe it was anger. We have no idea what Paul's mulberry was. But we know that he had one. We all have mulberries. And how many of you know we don't end up in that tree overnight? It's not like we wake up one day and we're obese. It's not like we wake up one day and go, how did I start cheating on my spouse? No, it's a series of yeses, of disobedience that lead us to that place. And there's a price to pay. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they ate of the forbidden fruit. One act of disobedience. And what happened? They had to pay a price. Sin, evil came into the world. And this was a price that we are still paying now today because of their one act of disobedience. Guys, what I'm trying to tell us today is that if we don't address our mulberry tree, we're gonna have to pay a price. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we stay in our sin, if we stay in that mulberry tree, we will pay a price. But if we climb down, Jesus is waiting with a life of eternity for us. But will we choose to come down from our mulberry? I want to unpack today what it looks like. What leads us up the mulberry tree to begin with, but then ultimately, how do we climb down from that mulberry tree? And we're going to unpack the story of Zacchaeus and what he faced. Now, I'd encourage you to take some notes, because note takers go to heaven. Right. You can download the Freedom House app on your phone. You can take the notes in your notes app, or you can just write on the forearm of the person sitting next to you. I'm sure they won't mind. All right, guys, what leads us up a mulberry? Uncultivated curiosity. Uncultivated curiosity, because God cultivates your curiosity. You've heard the phrase, curiosity killed the cat? Yeah, that's right. Curiosity's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Curiosity can either lead you to sin or it can lead you to God's understanding. Think about that. Curiosity can either lead you to a place of sin, up that mulberry tree, where you face dysfunction, unhealthy relationships, addictive behaviors, hopelessness. Yeah. Or curiosity could have you climb down from that tree with God's understanding that refreshes, inspires, encourages. If we're not careful, curiosity will take us to a place we never were meant to be. If you're married in here, curiosity might cause you to seek out that old flame that you came across on social media. Uh-oh. Or curiosity could cause you to go, wait a second, why am I even doing this to begin with? God, what's going on the inside of me that's feeling lonely, that's having me seek out something I have no business seeking out? Curiosity could lead you to that website that you know you've got blocked on your devices for your protection. Or it could lead you to go, wait a second, God, why am I seeking out that website yet again? You see, curiosity will take us to a fork in the road. It will either lead you to a place of sin or it will lead you to God's understanding. Which are we going to choose? You know, Paul, the same one who had the thorn in his flesh, he warns us in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. He says, I'm afraid, just as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray by a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. It's going to happen to all of us. That fork in the road. But which path will you choose? Paul also encourages us. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation, turn to somebody, say, no temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. In other words, what you're facing, what you face, somebody else has already overcome that. Isn't that awesome? To know that you're not the only one that struggles with something? Because that's what the enemy would have you to believe. You're the only one that struggles with that. But the scripture says otherwise. God is faithful, and he will not lead you into temptation at all. What does that say? No, it says you won't be led into temptation beyond your ability. That with that temptation, he provides a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You know, I can imagine that Zacchaeus that day was probably sick and tired of deceiving people. He probably was sitting at dinner, looking at all the wealth that he had around him by himself and going, you know what? I'm tired of being alone. I can imagine he's probably tired of walking into the market square and having people see him and turn away. He was hated by the people around him. At some point, you can imagine he probably got tired of that. And then he hears that this guy, Jesus, is coming to town. Jesus, who claims to be the Messiah, the Son of God. You see, the rabbis, even the religious leaders of that time, would not associate with the likes of Zacchaeus. So when he hears that Jesus is coming to town, he, in all of his robes and his sandals, goes climbing up that mulberry tree because he's curious. He's like, I want to see what this man Jesus could possibly have for me. Jesus says in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. That word draw in the Greek is the word elko, and it means to draw by an inward power, to lead, to impel, curiosity. Why did Zacchaeus climb? He was compelled. He was looking for change. He was looking for something different. Now, how did God cultivate this curiosity? I'm so glad you asked. Well, let's talk about this mulberry tree that he used as a ladder that day. Now, if he's using it to look over the crowd, it was probably at least 15 feet high, would you say? Well, I did some research for you. A mulberry tree grows about a foot every year. So that means, do the math, the mulberry tree was planted at least 15 years prior to that exact moment. God knew that Zacchaeus would be in Jericho that day. He knew that Zacchaeus would be drawn by curiosity. And I bet God is like, I'm going to plant this tree so that Zacchaeus is led up through curiosity to seek out Jesus. God planted a seed 15 years prior so that Zacchaeus could meet Jesus that day. God cultivates our curiosity. He plants seeds to draw us. What seeds has he planted for you? Where is he drawing you in? Curiosity will either lead you to look for Jesus or to climb further into sin. You know, when we first opened South End 7 years ago, can you believe it's been 7 years? On Easter, seven years is our anniversary. Well, we had just opened, and this woman comes walking in the doors, and I walked up to greet her, as I often do in the lobby, and I noticed she was missing a tooth, and she had bruises and contusions all over her face that she had disguised with makeup. And I said, how did you get to Freedom House today? And she said, you know, I'm not really sure how I got here. But when I parked my car, I heard the music. I saw some crazy people standing out front waving signs that said, come sit with me. And I walked through the doors to say, what is this? Curiosity drew her into church that day. And you know, she met Jesus for the first time that Sunday and accepted him as Lord and Savior. Her life was forever changed. And my prayer for you today is that just like Zacchaeus, just like that woman who wandered into Freedom House that day, I pray that curiosity will awaken your consciences for a major heart change. Number two, what leads us up the mulberry? Wrong identities. Wrong identities. Because God defines your identity. You see, Zacchaeus was a chief publican, the scripture said. He was a tax collector. He was a wealthy person who paid for the privilege of collecting other people's taxes. And then what he would do is he would overcharge people and then pocket the surplus. Now, what's interesting is that tax collectors in this day were Romans working on behalf of the Roman powers to collect the tax from the Jewish people. But Zacchaeus was a Jew. A Jewish man working on behalf of the foreign power, collecting the taxes from his own countrymen. And he was manipulating them, and he was deceiving them. Zacchaeus was known as a tax collector. He was known for his sin. He was known for how poorly he treated people. Can you imagine if you were known as your sin? If you were known as an adulterer? If you were known as a liar? If you were known as an alcoholic? If you were known as a bed hopper? If you were known as the sin that is maybe even beneath the surface and nobody knows about it? And this is what we do. We adopt labels and titles, and they become who we are. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with Christ. We can all succumb to this. We can all fall into this trap of becoming the very things that we do. Our work, our experiences, our mistakes, they're labels, they're descriptors that if we're not careful, we will become them. I am a successful business owner, and that's who I am. I am an alcoholic. I am a failure. I am a professional athlete. I am a victim of domestic abuse. I am a cancer survivor. I am a barren woman. You know, you've been assigned the things that you do and the trials of life, but they don't define you. They're assignments, not identities. Let me say that one more time because I think that really needs to sink in. These are assignments. They're not identities. You see, Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming to town. He forgets his gravity. He climbs up this tree, and Jesus comes to him. And what does he do? He yells out to him. He doesn't say, "Hey, deceiver. Hey, betrayer. Hey, jerk. Tax collector. Loser." No, he calls out to him as his God-given identity. He says, "Zacchaeus." You know what Zacchaeus means? Pure and innocent one. Pure and innocent one, come down from that tree. I've got a plan for you. I've got an assignment for you. You can lay down the ways of your past. I have something greater. Isn't that amazing? I want you to just take a moment right where you are. Just close your eyes. And I want you to just listen. What is God saying about you? Who does he say that you are? Prince. Beloved. Chosen. Peacemaker. Warrior. Who does God say that you are? The scripture says you're chosen. Beloved, treasured, perfectly, wonderfully made in his image. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "You are a chosen race." Come on. "A royal priesthood, a people for his own possession. The creator of the universe calls you his, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You might own a successful business, but it does not define you. You might struggle with an alcohol addiction, but it does not define you. You might struggle with an addiction to pornography, but it does not define you. You might have struggled with infertility, but can I tell you today, that does not define you. God has a destiny for you. What I love so much about this story is that when Jesus encounters Zacchaeus, when Zacchaeus encounters Jesus, Jesus says to him, in place of your worldly assignment, throw that away. I've got something better for you. And he says, come, host me, follow me. And can I just tell you how significant? Again, the religious leaders of that time would not have even associated with Zacchaeus. So for the Son of God to literally say, I'm picking you, come follow me, I have a plan for you. Powerful. Imagine the assignment that Jesus has for you if you'll just climb down from that mulberry. God cultivates our curiosity. He defines our identity. What's our part? Well, you get to choose. Are you going to climb up? Are you going to climb down the mulberry? Which one? You know, I think it's one thing to hear the story of Zacchaeus and be moved. Like, dang, that's powerful. He had quite an encounter that day. Or have you ever seen somebody that you knew their past, and then you see they have total life change? They're posting scripture on social media. They're posting videos about their Savior. And you're like, dang, that's awesome. Love to see that radical change. But can I say, for you, for it to be real, for it to be real for you, you've got to make a choice. Are you going to choose Jesus today? You know what I love is that God is a gentleman. He doesn't force us to come down from our trees. And you can choose to stay in that dysfunction if you want. You can choose to continue doing the same things as yesterday that lead you to hopelessness, purposelessness, or you can climb down. Matt and I will be married 17 years this summer. Time flies when you're having fun. And can I tell you, when we first got married, I was a workaholic. Clocking 90-hour weeks, traveling all the time. Thank God my husband is the incredible man that he is, because most spouses wouldn't have stuck around. My work consumed me. Constantly trying to win that next business deal, achieve the next promotion, achieve the next highlight. It was constant, never ending. It completely consumed me. Now, my husband was forgiving, but when we started having kids, how many of you know a baby's not so forgiving? That baby was waking up in the middle of the night, needed to be fed, and I was still trying to do all the things, run at the pace in my own strength. And I hit a breaking point. I couldn't do it anymore. And I remember one night, totally sleepless, I went and made a deal with God. Now, I do not recommend this. That was so audacious of me. But I went to God and I was like, God, I cannot do this anymore. If you'll just give me one full night of rest, I promise I will spend every day thereafter serving you, doing your work, not mine, reading your word, getting to know you, whatever it takes, just one night of sleep, please. The next morning, I woke up after 9 hours interrupted. Come on, somebody. And I was like, whoa, okay, here we go. Opened my Bible to 2 Corinthians 12:9, and I heard God speak audibly, and he said, Diana, my grace is sufficient for you. and my power is made perfect in your weakness. I had to make a choice to climb down from my mulberry tree, because guess what? Jesus was willing to meet me there, but he didn't want to leave me there. He said, come down. I have plans for you. What is your mulberry tree? Are you ready to climb down? You know, Jesus wasn't just passing through Jericho by happenstance, right? No, when he went to Jericho that day, he knew Zacchaeus would be there. In fact, the scripture, the reason I had you repeat it, it said, when he reached the same spot that God planted the mulberry tree over 15 years prior, when he reached the spot, he calls out to Zacchaeus. And how does Zacchaeus respond? An immediate response of a 180-degree turn. He says in verse 8, look, Lord, here now, I give you half of my possessions. In other words, here now, I give you my heart. I'm ready to make a change. I'm tired of living my deceitful life. I want to do your work. Now, what was the impetus for Zacchaeus to climb down from that mulberry tree? It's repentance. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. I don't know about you, but when I hear that, my sins will be blotted out, washed away, wiped clean. A new beginning, a fresh start is what that says. You know, repent, that word is from the Greek, and it's the word metaneo. It means not to apologize, but it means to acknowledge that our ways are wrong and God's ways are right. And you're literally turning in the opposite direction and continuing a new path. That's what repentance means. You know, there's a town in a rural part of Labrador, Canada, called Wabush. Just say it. There you go. I know you wanted to. Wabush. Well, Wabush was a totally isolated town until they finally cut a road leading into it. One road leading into this town. Now, for those who would visit Wabush on that one road leading in, how do you think they'd get out? They had to turn around and walk out that same one road. You know, all of us as sinners arrive to a place called sin. Just like in Wabush, there's only one road leading in and one road that God handcrafted leading out. Now, the way to exit that place of sin is an about face. It's turning around and walking out the path that God paved for us. A pathway that came from a sacrifice that Jesus made for you when he died on the cross. He had you in mind. And it wasn't just to wash away your sins of the past. No, he recognized that you were going to struggle with something today, that you would struggle with something tomorrow. And he said, if you just give me your life, I'll take it all and I'll give you a path to everlasting. Jesus said to Zacchaeus in response to his repentance, today, salvation has come to this house. And I can just imagine that all of heaven rejoiced and celebrated in honor of Zacchaeus. Will you climb down from your mulberry tree today? Whatever that is. No matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, there's a mulberry tree that he's saying, I need you to come down. I need you to set that aside. You can't do it in your own strength, but I'm calling you today. I'll help you with it. If you'll just repent, if you'll just turn from that way, I'll help you. Jesus is the freedom. He's the answer. Will you guys stand to your feet? That mulberry tree, it represents our sin and our struggles. And Jesus represents the freedom. So they'll no longer torment us. We no longer have to carry that weight. He wants to take it from us. Now, maybe you're in here and you're going, Pastor Diana, you have no idea how entangled my root system is beneath the surface. You have no idea the things that I've done. You have no idea what's been done to me. Can I just tell you, no matter how entangled, you're never too far gone. No matter the mess that's beneath the surface, you're never too far gone. You know, Jesus said to the disciples in the book of Luke, he said, hey, faith, the size of this mustard seed, and he held up a mustard seed that was the size of a pinhead. He said, if you say to this mulberry tree, jump into the sea, with faith the size of a mustard seed, it will obey. Why did he use a mulberry tree? Because he was saying, even an entangled root system like this tree will have to obey with your faith in action. Will you guys close your eyes just right where you are? I just want to eliminate distractions. If you're in here today and you're ready to admit that there's a mulberry that you're struggling with, a mulberry tree that continues to show up, and you're ready to say, no longer do I want that mulberry tree to have a grip on me. I want to surrender it at the feet of Jesus. If that's you today, will you just lift your hand right where you are? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Hands up all over the room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Repentance is what brings freedom. Church, I want to pray over you today. But before I do, if you're in here today and you've not yet accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can I tell you, he's calling you today. He's calling you by name. And if that's you, would you just lift your hand right where you are? I want to count you in this prayer so that all of heaven can rejoice. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you. Church, let's just all lift our hands all across the room. And I'm going to say a prayer. If you'll just repeat after me, everybody join in. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to send Jesus to die on a cross, to bear my sins, so that I could be forgiven. I repent of my mulberry. I lay it at your feet. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And from today forward, I call you Lord and Savior of my life. Amen.